Welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em. I'm a content creator, podcast producer, and a mother. And as I thought about a new season of the podcast, I went back to my roots and what made me start this show to begin with. At its core, it's this idea of connection, relatability, and motivating each other through the impactful conversations we're having as women. I'll be talking to the same powerhouse caliber of female guests that I know are going to light you up, but we're getting real on how they've redefined themselves in entirely new seasons and phases of life. We're honing in on what fuels us, what brings us back to ourselves, and ultimately, what keeps us moving. So with that, let's get into new episodes. Before we get into today's episode, I need to fill you in on my latest beauty obsession. It's the best-selling beauty brand Tower 28. Designed for sensitive skin, their founder Amy Liu spent 20 years as a beauty exec before launching. Their award-winning SOS skincare line is the first to earn seals of approval from all three leading U.S. skin health organizations, the National Eczema Association, National Rosacea Society, and National Psoriasis Foundation, a testament to its commitment to skin-safe, effective formulations. Two products I'm using right now and loving are their Swipe Serum Concealer. It's insanely hydrating and glides on like a serum. So forget those annoying under eye creases. Not to mention, it's the number one trafficked concealer at Sephora. And their SOS Rescue Spray, a facial spray that's gone viral on TikTok. It's a natural anti-inflammatory that helps defend your skin against harmful bacteria. My rosacea prone skin loves this spray for reducing redness and any irritation I'm having. Use code THEBIGMOVE20 for 20% off your purchase and look out for an upcoming episode with their founder, Amy Liu, to learn even more about this incredible brand. Eva, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
We're excited to have you. I feel like we have some really fun material to go through with you today. So excited to dive in. And thanks for taking the time to chat with us today.
Of course. My pleasure.
So for those that don't already know you or maybe don't already follow you on social media, can you give us a brief backdrop on who you are and what you're all about?
Yes. So my name is Eva Amore. I am a content creator, a designer, actress, mom of three, wife, friend, daughter. I've had many career shifts throughout my 40 years. I acted for 15 years and then created my brand, my company, which has just celebrated its 10-year anniversary. So you can find me now all over the internet. wherever you get your internets, I am there.
I love it. It's incredible. We have a lot to cover, so we're going to keep jamming. So Eva, in talking about motherhood and redefining ourselves in what feels like these big seasons of motherhood, there's quite a lot to unpack here with you. So I guess if we're backtracking just a little bit with your very first child, how did your expectations shift or change around how you were looking at career aspirations and goals? What did that look like for you?
Yeah, I think for me, becoming a mom is what sort of set me on my truest path, I would say. I think I had at that point, I was acting at that time, and I had been acting since I was a teenager. Since I was 14, I was a professional person. I still managed to go to, you know, complete school, complete college, but I kind of just was on this wave almost that I was riding where I didn't feel particularly fulfilled, but at the same time, it was working for me, right? And when you're young, it's really hard to say no when you're financially successful enough at whatever it is you're doing, right? It was very daunting, the idea of kind of starting over with something new, even asking myself, like, what was I interested in? Like, what did I want to do? I had kind of started this career at such a young age, and I think the industry at large sort of got in my head a little bit. It's always, you know, onto the next thing, and it's very competitive, and it really does a number on your self-esteem and confidence, as I'm sure anybody would imagine. And so I just was not in a great place just in terms of my self-esteem and confidence. And when I got pregnant with my first child, who was a girl, it's kind of started making me think a lot about what I was investing my time and energy into, and also how I wanted to parent a daughter. And I actually have a blog post about this because it really was a journey for me thinking a lot about, you know, I think that as moms, we're gifted the children that we're exactly supposed to have in that moment. I think children bring with them a lesson for every single mom that I know. And for me, Marlo was sort of that lesson where I gave birth to her. And suddenly I thought to myself, how can I be encouraging this young girl to, you know, reach for her dreams and be fulfilled in life and do something that makes you feel good about yourself and then not be the example of that in her own life? It just felt really disingenuous. It felt, I don't know, it felt very hypocritical. And so that's when I really took a hard look at what I was doing. And I mean, and also needless to say, obviously the industry is not the easiest place for women who are moms. I mean, it's not family friendly whatsoever. So I just really had to take a hard look at my life and kind of be like, okay, enough of kind of drawing this out. Now, what am I going to do? And at that point, I was married to my now ex-husband, and he was extremely supportive. He had seen me really having a hard time with my career the past, you know, 5 years that we'd been together. And he was like, listen, we can handle you kind of not working for like about a year. So he was like, let's kind of look at this. He goes, why don't you just kind of go from square one? Like, what do you like to do? And so I literally made a list. And when we were looking at it together, he was like, wow, this looks a lot like a lifestyle blog. And at that time, this was 10 years ago, it was kind of like the Wild West. And it was not anything I was familiar with. I mean, I did not know how to work with WordPress. I didn't know how coding. I didn't know how any of this stuff worked. I didn't know how to use Photoshop, which was really big at the time, or social media, or any of these things that are central to this career. But I really did authentically have a passion in all of these different areas that are the verticals of a lifestyle blog. I was always entertaining, crafting with my daughter. I grew up crafting. I grew up traveling. Interior design was a huge passion of mine. Cooking, making cocktails, style, you know, obviously acting. I was really lucky enough to have access to a lot of really incredible designers and fashion shows and all this stuff. And so all these things were very much really a part of my life. And so I think that stepping into that and kind of exploring that for the first time while I was raising a baby for the first time was huge in terms of my self-esteem, in terms of kind of rediscovering myself, not only as a professional person, but as a woman. And so I know that there are people who reach that without children, and that's amazing. But I just was not able to get there myself without the motivation of my child, one child at that point, kind of guiding that for me, that kind of transformation.
I love that perspective. It's like so often we talk about embarking on motherhood and raising a family and how it slows women down. And I love hearing actually the sort of opposite in your case of like, actually, this was the perfect point to sort of reassess. And it actually propelled you into this like new direction of your career mm-hmm. in such an amazing way. So I find that so inspiring to hear the other side.
I will also say that there were moments when I was building my brand where I would look at these other, you know, and we've gone through many titles throughout the 10 years of what you call this weird job, but, you know, influencers or social media personalities or creators, I would see these other ones who were kind of my counterparts who didn't have kids, who could just get up and go anywhere and go on these brand trips and this and that. And that was hard. It was really hard to stay true to my values as like a mom and then also do my job, because of course it's infinitely easier to do your job when you don't have children, any job, but particularly this job with all the travel and the hours and the events and all these things. And so that was hard for me. So I will say that it's not that that was not present, but to your point, it really did inspire me. Like, I think I became more capable as a mom as opposed to less.
Yeah, absolutely. And it does lead itself into the next question of some of your biggest challenges and your hurdles. And so that makes sense. And I think this is something that comes up so much is comparison, right? And that sounds like that's exactly what happened for you. So when you are in that sort of headspace and, you know, seeing these other entrepreneurs and content creators, you know, doing the things that maybe you just didn't have the flexibility to do anymore, like what were you reaching for? How were you managing it in your mind?
I think I was lucky in the sense that I had this background in an incredibly competitive career where I learned as an actress. I mean, comparison is the thief of joy and the thief of talent, actually, because if you're trying to become what other people are, you just by nature are less yourself. And in these industries that really capitalize on personality, that's the first step towards losing your own, right? Is trying to recreate what other people, who they are in yourself. So I was lucky in the sense that I had already internalized that from my acting career. And not to say it wasn't tempting at times to be like, well, this person's doing all this and that. But like, you have to remember when you're in that space that there are other people looking at you thinking the same thing, you know? And it really is true that there are versions of yourself who wouldn't believe like everything you're doing now. So whenever I get down on myself about, oh, I wish I was doing this, or this other creator who's had their brand the same amount of time is like steps ahead in this area, you have to remember that the version of yourself, however many years ago or however many like versions of yourself ago, would be absolutely amazed by where you are now. So I try to stay in that headspace and I try to just keep my blinders on, but it's tough. I mean, you know, in this industry, it's definitely not easy. And I think people like pit, I mean, just in culture in general, pit other women against each other. And so I've never been a fan of that. And I really don't believe in that. So I just try to stay grounded into what I believe in, which is that success is not a pie, right? Like some people's success doesn't prohibit you from having some of that pie.
Yeah. No, that makes so much sense. And so kind of flash forwarding to present day, you have three children, you have this thriving career, you're embarking on all of these other projects, like in current day with your three children that are, don't quote me on this, but 10, 8, and 5?
Yes. So I'm about to have an 11-year-old.
Okay.
She's turning 11 next week, but yes.
Okay. So in this season of motherhood, which is a whole other beast, right? How are you juggling all of these things? You're wearing your mom hat, you're wearing your content hat, you're embarking on new projects. Like, how is that mental load currently?
Overwhelming. I try to give myself a lot of grace. I mean, I grew up with a working mom who was very busy, and she still prioritized and maintained her life with us. And by the way, that included, like, you don't always get everything right. You have to say no to some work things and you have to say no to some kid things. But overall, like how it shook out was I was able to see, okay, here's a woman who is very successful, very connected, very good at what she does also, just like talent-wise. And my mom was also a mom of three kids. And I think just having that in the back of my mind and really internalizing that it wasn't always perfect all the time, and that's okay at the end of the day, has helped me a lot. I heard this quote, and I wish I'd made it up because I think it's so perfect, but that, you know, people often refer to it as like the juggle, right? Like there is no balance. I think we can all agree that does not exist. Any mom who works outside the home, or even moms who work within the home and like that is their job, would tell you there is no balance. That is a fallacy. However, you know, it's kind of been referred to as this juggle. And this quote that I read was like, you know, when we think of the juggle, you have to remember that when you're juggling, some of the balls are plastic and some of them are glass. And from week to week, that's going to change, from month to month, from year to year. And you have to remember that it's okay. You just have to determine what those plastic balls are that you can drop and everything's okay, and which ones are glass. And those have changed as my kids have gone through different phases. I mean, I have a girl who's a tween who's entering middle school. So you can imagine that that's emotionally more of a handful at this point. Then I had a baby during the pandemic, and that was a vibe. And so it has shifted and changed in terms of what those glass balls are. But I think, you know, overall, and sometimes you get it wrong, by the way, you know, and that's okay. You have to forgive yourself for that. Like, but that's how you learn. And I think one thread that's kind of carried me through my careers and my life is like, it's okay. As long as you're learning from your mistakes, they're valuable. It's very valuable to have mistakes.
Yeah. I absolutely love that quote that you shared. And I couldn't agree more. And I think it's like, it's the superpower of like what happens to you when you become a mom. And it makes us so good at, I mean, my brain is going to productivity and prioritizing. And you're just learning what, like you said, what can you let go and what do you need to kind of prioritize, even just like on a day-to-day basis. Mm.
I completely agree. And, you know, I think also it's letting go of things you see other people doing, you know, that are might not work for you with everything that you're balancing. You know, like if you are balancing a lot and you have children and a business and like you see other people are like cooking these meals at home, but you are picking up food for dinner. Great. Like do what works for you. Don't feel pressure to, who cares? You know what I mean? Yeah. What other people are doing. And I think social media has made that so much harder because we are more confronted now than ever with how other people live. Yeah. And I think that that can be extremely dangerous for joy as well and for satisfaction because a way that you're doing things that might feel totally fine, suddenly you're scrolling in your feed and you see somebody else who, hey, they have a job outside the home and they have maybe more kids than me and they're doing this. Yeah, but maybe they're not connecting with their husband at night. Or maybe they don't have that many friendships outside of work. You know what I mean? Like there's always things that you don't see. And so I think that that's important to remember with all of that.
I totally agree. It's like trying as best as we can to like stay in our own lane of motherhood or rather like what's the version that works for you and stop scrolling on social media. But we're all culprits of that, right?
I mean, I think we can scroll, but I think reminding ourselves while we're doing so that this is a version we are seeing. And I think that I hope and I believe that one of the big takeaways that me having a job that is very social media heavy, a takeaway that has given my kids actually is just this understanding that it's just one piece of the pie. Yeah. And because so much is happening all the time in my life that people never see and that they don't know about, in fact. Yeah. And followers of my blog or of my social media get a little uncomfortable when I say that because it doesn't mean that what they're seeing is not authentically me. It is. And I would say like of the many creators even that I follow, I maybe share them, like I share a lot, right? What you see is what you get. I share a lot of my life. I make myself very vulnerable, but there are entire sides of my life, things that happen with my kids, things that happen, you know, health things I've gone through, people never hear about, right? And so I think my kids have really come to understand that we're seeing a version on social media. And I hope and believe that as they get older, and I'm not allowing them to have social media, I mean, basically 18, you don't need it. Don't go on it or phones or any of that stuff. But once they eventually do get on it, hopefully it gives them that grace for themselves where they understand, okay, what I'm seeing, because now I know, is just a version of.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like you have really healthy boundaries and guardrails around some of those things that you don't share. And so that makes perfect sense. So on top of your thriving career as a content creator, you're a mom of three. We also know about a new Westport-based project, which I'm personally invested in because I am a newbie in the Westport community. This new series called The Westport Project, I'd love to hear a little bit more about this endeavor, but also like what sparked this project for you?
Yeah, and I love talking about this because I think the Westport Project is something that came along for me during a time when I was just like the luster of all this has been kind of wearing off. I had been thinking a lot about like what's next, you know? I mean, there's only so many beauty products you can sell in Instagram stories.
I'm nodding because I understand. Yeah. I understand the struggle.
Vitamins or powders, you know what I mean? And anybody listening to this who's like in this space will be laughing along with us. But, you know, I'd kind of been thinking to myself, okay, what's the next thing? Because I do truly believe that when you start to feel bored, your content becomes boring. And so anyway, I just been searching for this next thing. So about, gosh, now it's, I think 7 years ago, Chris Odell, who is has his company, the Odell Group, they started renovating a historic home that I used to own here in Westport. And it was a really tricky job because it had all of these historic guardrails because of its status within the historical society. And we wanted to update it, needed to update it to be a family home, do an addition, do all these things. So it was very complicated and took a really long time. It took about 2 years. And as anyone who has done work on any type of home knows, that kind of contractor client relationship is a delicate one, right? When you're going through that for 2 years, either you come out of it absolutely hating each other, but luckily in my case, or you come out of it kind of closer, you know, and kind of inspired. And so for me and for Chris, it kind of showed us where our values align in terms of design and marketing and all of these things. And then the pandemic happened and I was a newly divorced mom of three with a newborn baby. So that, by the way, highly do not recommend. However, I was like, all right, like I'm doing this now. Like, here we go. And I started taking on some other projects with my company besides like the influencing content creation. I started doing some marketing work for different brands. And I'd always said to Chris, you know, you have this amazing product. His company has some of the most skilled woodworkers and artisans. And I've owned many homes and renovated multiple homes that I have ever experienced. And so, but his branding was terrible. He had no social media presence. His website sucked. Everything was horrible, right? And I was like, Chris, and he knew it. He was like, totally agreed. And I was like, you have this amazing product, but it's so incongruous, right, with what you're doing. And so he was like, well, how can I fix that? And I was like, well, do A, B, and C, and D, and E, and F, and G. And he was like, okay, can you do that for me? And I was like, okay. So he hired me to rebrand his company. So the branding you see now is my company did that for him and helped him kind of do a new website and a marketing plan and all these different things. And through that process, he came to really understand what I do for brands. And he kind of had this idea and came to me and said, you know, it'd be really cool at some point to kind of join forces in what we each do best. And you could kind of creative direct a new build, and I could come in and build it, and we could find a way to market it in this way that we believe is really where the real estate, but particularly the luxury real estate market is going, which is much more towards selling through a lifestyle lens. So as opposed to the four walls and how they look or don't look, has become much more about the lifestyle you're selling, right? And how families or individuals live and operate within these spaces. And so I have had the opportunity kind of throughout the years to sort of do that for different homes, different spaces. And we're like, we should do this for our own benefit. And so that's kind of how the concept of the Westport project came about. And we found this incredible house terrible house, but incredible location. It was a tear down, but it was right at Campo Beach, which anyone who knows who lives in Westport, it's the neighborhood here. Westport is such an incredible town, absolutely insanely amazing public schools, beautiful, you know, farms, but also beach life. It's just this really a wonderful, wonderful place to live and to raise a family. And I mean, we ended up here, right? So Campo Beach in particular is really as good as it gets, and properties very rarely come on the market there. So we were very happy that we kind of scored this property, even though it was a total teardown. And that became sort of the impetus for actually doing this project. And because I am in charge of this sort of creative directing and marketing, I said, you know what, why don't we do this as a sort of brand partnership platform, and to show what goes into building a house, because we've all seen HGTV. I grew up on it. I love it. It's like sort of a calming channel for me, but it's like, here's the before, here's the after. There's not a lot about the process, and it's certainly not in real time. I mean, those shows come out maybe a year after. So I said, what if we can bring people along for the ride? What exactly goes into not only designing, but also building a home, who the people are who are involved in this, and why we choose this versus that. Why do we build this certain way? And to kind of learn along the way, because I've never built a home, a spec home. So we wanted to bring people along the ride for that and also be releasing it in real time. I mean, the owner of this house is out there somewhere watching this show, right? So it is possible to fall in love with this house and then live in this house, which you cannot do with HGTV. So this has been something that's been really exciting. It's been a huge learning experience. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's kind of harkened back to my early years blogging where I was just figuring it out. And I continue to do that. I mean, I'm executive producing this. I'm directing this. I have a heavy hand in editing this with my amazing videographer at the Racinos Company. And I'm also in it. So it's been a lot of time and energy, but I really feel that I'm learning kind of invaluable skills and lessons through the process. And it's been so fun just to see people's reaction and experience of this show, because it's kind of a mix between a home renovation show and like a reality show, like a Southern Charm type of thing. And Chris and I are very like good cop, bad cop. We have this sort of like brother sister rapport, and we always have. And so to bring that to the screen has been really fun. And yeah, just it feels like not so much like work, but it's been nice to do something new.
I love that. I mean, you have your hand so heavily integrated into it. Do you like being sort of in the process? Like, I feel like it's very different than like kind of the content world where it's like instant gratification, right? Like you shoot something for a brand, you're creating the content. It's like, then you move on to the next thing. Like this must be a whole other beast.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely a long game. And I kind of like that about it. I mean, it's certainly... it's been interesting and a challenge to find the threads through, because it's a series, right? But we don't know where it's going because it's also like a documentary series. So it's been interesting to kind of carry through themes and wishes and to be have a mind towards kind of where we're going in the process as well. And it's also a lot about brand partnerships. So as we're onboarding a lot of these brands, like the construction world is kind of behind when it comes to marketing. It's really about, I mean, Chris always tells me, it's like the construction world's about at least 10 years behind. So a lot of these brands we're working with are kind of doing this type of marketing for the very first time. So that's been interesting and exciting to kind of teach them and show them what we can do for them in terms of content creation. And I'm hoping, you know, I see this hopefully being an ongoing thing. And the reason we called it the Westport Project is so that hopefully we can have, you know, the Westport Project, the farm, the Westport Project, you know, XYZ. So Old Mill Beach or Compo Beach. So to kind of continue it for seasons to come is something I'm looking forward to as well.
Yeah. I kind of love one piece that you said about the sort of like unknown factor about the project. I feel like I've been hearing a little bit more of this recently, and I feel like it's resonating with me and just with women where we have so many balls in the air of like, maybe you don't know what that next thing is, but like this project will lead to what that is. And not being maybe scared of the unknown, but almost having a positivity around it. I don't know if that makes sense.
It completely does. I think I was just saying this actually in an interview the other day where they were like, how did you get here from there? And I'm like, what's really interesting is that if you just saw where I started and right now, you'd be like, huh? You know, but you kind of, you have to allow the journey to pull you in a way. And I think to your point, opportunities may arise. I am a 100% believer in nothing that's meant for you misses you. So if you're listening to, if you're going with the flow, right? And you're saying yes to the flow, that is leading you. I don't care if it seems completely astray from what you think your ultimate goal should be. You are picking up a skill, or you're meeting a person, or you're coming into an environment that is leading you towards this ultimate purpose, whatever that may be. And sometimes it's leading you towards a catastrophe that will make you realize your ultimate purpose, whatever it is. And I've certainly had, and I talk about this very openly and a lot, I've certainly had like major flop eras over the last 10 years, you know, and that now looking back, I see them as like the universe being like, no more of that. Like how obvious do we have to make it for you? And at the time you saw it as this big roadblock or this huge tragedy or a chip on your shoulder or an ego deflation. But then now you look back and you're like, oh, okay, like that's why I had to not get that job or not go that path or shut down my this or whatever it was, or move, you know, or get divorced or whatever it is. But I think that if you say yes to the flow, you eventually look back and you see what the point was. And I think that's so important, especially as a woman where, you know, when I'm a firstborn daughter, very type A, I don't like failing. And so that's been, I think, one of the greatest lessons of this career has been that you have to trust the process.
I love that. You took the words out of my mouth. It's such a great theme. So switching gears a little bit into content creation and you cultivating, which is such an amazing community online, I would love to get into, on Instagram, you have Eva's Side Chat, which I am a part of. It's so much fun. It's like your mini podcast. By the way, we'll have to have another conversation about producing yours.
Yeah, exactly.
You must come out with one. But just to kind of get into like the premise of this, how has connecting with your audience through pretty much voice noting, what's that been like? I imagine cathartic, but I'd love to hear from you how that's been.
Yeah. So the voice notes, so what's interesting about sharing of myself publicly to the degree that I do, right? And what I mean when I say that is I've shared about my miscarriage. I've shared about my divorce, co-parenting, anxiety stuff, mental health stuff, you know, trials and tribulations that go on with my kids. Like I just really make myself vulnerable. One of the results of that is that I'll get a lot of people who reach out to me with a lot of really personal information. And so sometimes it's just either too laborious to like really give a full answer typing. Right. I mean, especially also now I have lady nails. So
they're incredible. Shout out to Nail Blanc, because you and I both go to Nail Blanc and it's the best.
They're the best. Shout out to Nail Blanc. but it's not always the easiest for living on your phone, one could say. So anyway, my point being, I started voice noting replies, right? So people going through breakups or tough divorces or with co-parenting questions or relationship questions or friend, whatever it was. And I realized that for me, it feels very comfortable to speak to people. I also, by the way, I have three sisters. So, I mean, it's like if you have sisters, you know, you live in a voice note world. You're constantly doing. So it feels very natural to me to just be kind of sharing of myself in a verbal, vocal way. And I think sometimes it feels almost a lot easier than kind of self-editing via caption. So I just was like, you know what? I was kind of trying, I wanted to do my little side chat, but I was like, what should I be sharing here? And then I just sort of I was like, oh, there's a feature where I can send these messages. And it's been really fun because I feel like I can really share what's happening without having to be like, I wish people read blog posts more, but they sort of don't, sadly. Mm-hmm. So it's almost a nice way to get out a longer thought process or something or an experience I had without having to sit there and write it and edit it out.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. What's like been maybe a very common thread line or challenge that people have been discussing it in the group chat?
You know, I think that honestly, there isn't a lot of like answer and reply. I mean, I've tried to do that a little bit. The side chat, the I forget what it's called. It's like a subscription or like I forget what the nature of it is called on Instagram, but it's tough because you can see it's not anonymous, right? The way it is in like DM or the way it is when you ask, use a question box, which I actually think is a design flaw of the side chat because, you know, people do pull, like, for example, I follow this amazing, I'm in like the side chat or the group. What is it called? It's like the group.
Threads.
Okay. So whatever the groups are, I'm in this for this really awesome woman who's like a sex therapist. She has this really interesting like business with her husband. So she asks these questions all the time about like, you know, sex and orgasm and relationships. But in order to answer, you can click on the answers and see who answered in every category, right? Which is kind of a flaw because with some of this stuff, I'm sure that people want to ask me things the way that they did in DM for me to answer without having to like put their business out there publicly. So they haven't really done that yet. I'm trying to kind of find ways. So I used to have this series on my blog that was really popular called Happily Eva Answers, which was almost like a Dear Jane thing. And it was people would ask me these sort of questions that require a longer form answer, but they would email me. So they would stay anonymous. And then I would reply with a huge blog post kind of going into detail about what I felt or advice about that topic. And so I kind of feel like I almost have to do that where I have to put up some kind of question box for people to then ask me and we can start kind of it being a little bit more interactive. So, or maybe I just have a podcast.
100%. Well, what I was getting at too was you had a recent voice note that like really resonated with me around creating new friendships in like new places and new towns. And you've talked about some of your moves from Weston to Westport. And I can obviously totally relate coming from London to, I went to Greenwich first. Now I popped over to Westport. Like you're creating these new circles around you. It is not fucking easy. But I love something you said in the voice note. You said you kind of have to force it. And I fully agree with you. But I'm curious, you know, it does take effort, but it can sometimes feel borderline cringy. How are you striking a balance there? What would your advice be?
Okay, so nobody wants to hear this. And I have new neighbors who recently moved from both of them, both houses from far away. And I said to them, my best advice, and I hope that you take this the right way, is that it takes 2 years. Like, two full years to really feel like you're settled with friends. I think nobody wants to hear that, but in my experience, many times, and by the way, I was always the new kid in schools. We moved around a lot. Like I have a lot of experience with this through my childhood, but also as an adult. Of course, when you're lonely and you're in a new place, and maybe if you had really close friendships, I'm also, by the way, a girl's girl. I need female friendships. Like I'm not one of these people who's like, my husband is my best friend, like only, like whatever. Like, no, I need to have that female energy around me. And by the way, that's neither good nor bad. It just kind of is what it is and something I've noticed over time. And so for me, it was so isolating to feel like I moved, especially when I moved from California to Connecticut, because the only people we knew were like the wives of people that my ex-husband grew up with, because he grew up in Westport. And that was like weird to be like, feel like the only women I could be like, who's your gynecologist? You know what I mean? Or like, what dentist? Plus I had kids and we moved first to Weston to this house, which is beautiful, but it was like in the woods. So I worked from home, had small children, had no friends. It was like a dark time. And I think that my best advice is kind of to know and acknowledge that it's going to be far from immediate, but that you will get there. And then that, yeah, you do have to force it. Like if you're in any kind of social situation and you just are like, you get like a great vibe, follow up with that person, like go to coffee, do a play date, like, I don't know, something like that. And also do things that are group activities. So like, one thing I loved that's Westport based for anyone listening who's in Westport is the Westport Writers Workshop is just a really great experience to kind of cultivate creative writing. If that's something that's like interesting or you've kind of wanted to learn how to tell your story or whatever it is, but she's so cool, the woman who runs it. And there's always like great vibes there. Like I remember I went to one, like kind of, I like recognized certain women in it, but I didn't really know them. And by the end of this 2-hour session, we had like cried in front of each other. You know what I mean? Like I felt like it was very community building. And so I think any experience like that or a cooking class, or if you always see the same woman at yoga, you know, things like that, it's, I feel like you have to just grab it by the horns. And I mean, what's the worst thing somebody can say? No. Or like, I already have enough friends. Who cares? That's fine. Next, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sitting here like bouncing off my chair nodding because there's so many things that you said that I completely resonate with. I mean, first of all, the 2-year thing, 100% true. I think it was Mel Robbins, who I am a big fan of and I read her book, but she was like, give it a year, give it a year. And I'm like, actually it's 2. And I'm like in this seat of, I moved back from London 2 years ago. I moved towns in between. I think you're right that it does take like 1 year goes in the drop of a hat.
Yeah. Well, especially when kids, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's, your time is not your own, obviously. Yes. So it's very, I think it may be 1 year if you don't have a family, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That, and then the other thing that you said that resonated is like on the note of it being cringe or not, like the follow through and the execution. So like when you're building these female relationships, like getting the phone number and the follow-up, I think is crucial. And it's funny, like I experienced that with you. I met you at a J. Crew networking event. I came up to you and I was like, we should get a coffee. And I'm this like, you know, newbie to Westport. You didn't have to sit and have a coffee with me, but you were open to it. And you know, we sat and we got to know each other at Jimmy and Joe's and it was so great. But you do have to kind of take the action and like execute on the other side. So
the other thing I'll say too about it is I recently, not recently, it was like maybe a year and a half ago now, I had known one woman who I was like friendly with and she knew that I liked to play tennis, but like didn't currently play at the time. And a spot opened up in her tennis group that like meets every week and it's like 6 women. And she was like, do you want to join? And of course, at first I'm like, so, it was very daunting. Like these are women who were all friends. They'd all been playing together. And I was like, oh my God, like, do I want to do this? You know? And then I joined and yeah, at first it's like a little awkward because everyone's getting to know you. You're the new person. But like, I just played tennis and went to dinner with them last night. And I'm so great. Like, I can't imagine not knowing them and not being a part of this tennis group. Like, I think it's also pushing yourself out of your own comfort zone, like that you may be trying new things that you wouldn't necessarily try or whatever that is, because, you know, it can end up great. And I think also, by the way, the other side of that coin is it's okay if people you meet through proximity are not your people. That's the other thing. You don't have to like stay friends with the first 3 friends you had just because they were the first people you met. Obviously, as moms, a lot of who we meet are like preschool friends or school friends. And that's fine. But you may hang out around those people and realize that, you know what, like you're not really vibing with them. And like, it's okay to, like, you don't have to then make a friend group something that doesn't feel authentically healthy or good to you, right? So that's the other thing, is like, it's okay to then move on from relationships that you make first thing somewhere. Because in my experience in life, sometimes the people who like reach out right away to you to like welcome you in are just, it's like, how do I say this in like a nice way? It's almost like a currency for them. And I think maybe it's not as genuine as one would like, or it's not as like interested in you. It's just more like you're the new person. And I've definitely experienced that in moves before. So it's okay. If you're like, hey, this actually doesn't feel so good to me anymore, move on, you know?
Yeah. I'm totally with you on that one. It's like moving towards the people and the vibe, right? Like the ones that feel natural and organic to you. I feel like that's like the biggest takeaway there. Something I love to talk on my guests with is how to stay motivated. We have so many balls in the air. Like day to day, what is your move on that? Like, how are you staying motivated? Are there routines you're sticking to or daily rituals?
You know, I think that overwhelmingly the biggest motivator for me is like supporting my family, right? So that since getting divorced has been, you know, we were very much like a two-income household, and then it was like me. So that, and you know, obviously my kids are such a huge motivator, and like that is literally why I do any of this, right? I think this preconceived notion, because like my parents are celebrities, that I don't have to work but do anyway, and I'm like, babe, I would be on a desert island so fast if I could be. I would love that, you know what I mean? Like, so I think overarchingly there's just this motivation to like create a great life for my kids and for myself, obviously, as well, but with them being kind of, you know, I'm happy when they're happy type of thing. But I think also I'm a really curious person, and I like learning. I like connecting. I mean, the connection aspect of this particular type of career is something that I'm really drawn to. I think when blogging first started, it was almost like perfect for the people who were introverts. And now it's really flipped on its head. And now it's like really only good for you if you're like an extreme extrovert, you know, in terms of how much energy you're outputting all the time. So for me, that's something that really lights me up, is connection, communication, learning new things, experiencing new things, cultivating new skills. And I find that a lot of times when I'm feeling burnt out, I have to tap back into that outside of work. So for me, that looks like reading a book, like really dedicating time. And my husband helps me carve out this time. But, you know, like sitting down and reading and like experiencing creativity that other people have created, going to a museum, learning something, watching a documentary, like these things that kind of spark my creative brain that have nothing to do with my own tasks at hand are extremely important to me. And those, I think it just makes me better at my job, makes me a better mom. Just that, taking that time away from whatever I'm doing, for sure. And then, you know, having a great support system. So like I have an executive assistant who, and actually she's pregnant and leaving, which is so sad. I mean, I'm happy for her, but I'm bringing somebody new in, but having that support system, like keep me on task, because it's very hard. I don't think people recognize this about this industry in particular. Obviously, you know, you have to be both a creative and like a CEO. And those things are not, they're not normally the same person, right? And and maybe when you reach like, you know, a Chrishell level or something like that, they're not the same person, right? And she is somebody, and she's either the CEO or she has a creative team or whatever it is. But for anybody else below, when you're making like millions and millions of dollars a year, like you really don't have this built out team that I think a lot of people assume. And so it's extremely draining, because you're forced to both be making just really cut and dry business decisions, but also coming up with all the creative and also being the model.
Right, right. You are wearing all of the hats, truly, to your point. So I love that you have such a foundation. I'm curious though, like the days where you're in a slump, you are not feeling it. Kids are frankly on fire. What's your move? What's your go-to? What do you reach for first?
You mean like besides a glass of wine?
We like that answer too. That's reasonable.
Yeah, also a glass of wine. I think just tapping into like my real life. I think for me, I am much more overwhelmed by the work stuff than the life stuff. Like my family unit really re-energizes me. Like I just, we're in such a good groove. Like I got remarried a year ago, and we're just have this great like little family. And my kids are of these ages where they're really like funny and interesting to talk to, and they're all in a vibe together. And I feel like when I'm feeling that way, I have to let the other stuff go and be like, let me just recharge like with my people, basically. And if the kids are the thing that's like making me crazy, then it's like girlfriends. It's like going to dinner and drinks with girlfriends and just tapping into that like female energy that feels very illuminating for me. Like I love how that feels to like be with a group of women who are like, oh my God, like my kids are insane too, or like I hate my husband today or whatever, or like work sucks, or like, ugh, like I'm just having such a hard time with this. And I also realize that not everybody has groups of friends like that. Like I think I'm also very lucky to have surrounded myself in the last like 5 or 6 years with like really authentic, vulnerable women who aren't in competition with each other. And so when I'm with them, I truly feel like supported in the sense that just being around other women who are also vulnerable and also going through it sometimes makes me feel better. Because I think it's so isolating, right? Sometimes. And so, yeah, I tap into my personal relationships. And then I think, and this is a read, but stay with me. I think that when you tap into your personal relationships, that's not doing that for you. That's like maybe also something to look at.
I love that. I mean, everything you just said is hitting home for me. It's like why I'm back on this mic. It's why I'm talking to women like you. It's like reaching for your girlfriends and looking at your arsenal and like depending on what's happening in that moment or that day, that's what you reach for. So I love all of that. It's resonating. As a last question, what is it that lights a fire in you? What is it that keeps you moving?
I think it's a good question. I'm very motivated by new experience. So I'm somebody who I don't like to take the same vacation twice. I don't like to go to the same restaurant twice. If I do, then I don't get the same thing. Do you know what I mean? And some people I know think I'm insane for that. Like my own husband is like, we love this. Like, let's do it again. And I'm like, but no, there's so much to see and there's so much to experience. And so for me, new experience and discovery is kind of been this constant theme throughout my life. And I think that that is extremely motivating for me. I'm somebody who I would rather spend my money on like experiences with my family than things, right? Like I'm not like a big shopper. I would rather buy expensive tickets to like sit front row at the Nutcracker with my son who loves ballet. You know what I mean? It's like that type of, what are these like life experiences we're putting in our collection to look back on, you know, at the end. So I think it's that, but I think that changes. I think being in a very settled place now in my life, you know, I'm like recently got remarried and I am finally kind of like not treading water with work and all these things. It's kind of enabled me to ask myself that question again and be like, what is it that I'm looking for? What's the goal here? And I guess to kind of complete the answer, I'm again, now on that journey of kind of trying to determine what are those things, because I think at this phase of life where I'm not, you know, no babies in diapers, I'm done having kids. So all three of my kids are going to be in elementary school starting this fall. And I kind of have the opportunity now to look at that and say, what's next?
Yeah. So cool. And a whole new season ahead for you, no doubt. So on that note, what's kind of coming up on the horizon? We know the Westport Project. We'll be looking out for more in the series, but anything else that you want to share that's upcoming for you?
Yeah. So I am very excited to say that I'm actually adding a really cool piece to my Benchmade Modern collection. So I actually launched about a year ago a seating collection with Benchmade Modern, and we're launching next month like a new addition to that family of products. So that is so exciting to me because there is truly nothing that I'm more honored by than like having Happily Ever After products like as a piece of people's like life. I can't even explain how wild that is for me. And because they're such high quality, heirloom quality pieces, it's just remarkably moving to me to be able to have these pieces like literally a part of like people's lives that they have for generations. So that has been really a rewarding kind of new avenue for me. And then so to add to that collection is super exciting. And then I'm kind of like all Westport Project all the time. I mean, obviously I'm also doing my regular job, but I think just having these new side projects has reinvigorated my interest in all of this, and we'll see. And, you know, I'm always auditioning too, like from time to time, if things come up in New York City or a little guest spot that I could do, because sadly I don't have the time to be doing like larger projects in terms of acting. But I think it might be fun one day to go back to that from a very different place of it as a choice and not like a necessity, I think. So I'm also open to that on the horizon. Yeah.
Incredible. So we're going to look out for you on the big screen as well. Thank you so much for joining us today. Where can everyone keep up with you and follow you after this conversation?
So everyone can follow my social media. It's at The Happily Eva. They can also follow at The Westport Project if they want kind of updates on that. That's a fun account as well, with just a closer look at the project that we're working on, as well as my YouTube channel. So the YouTube channel is where The Westport Project lives. It's linked in my bio on Instagram. And then if you want to do a deep dive, I still actually write blog posts, believe it or not.
No, you do. I know you do. I read yours the other day. I love that you keep up with it.
Yeah, it's nice. So there is also 10 years of content on there. So I always say to people, if you really want to read a lot of these more personal pieces, and there's a lot of them, you can always go there and kind of do a deep dive on any subject, like miscarriage, sex after a baby, divorce, co-parenting, divorce mediation. And you will see a lot of like really vulnerable, open posts. I also wrote, like, one of the first posts I wrote for my blog was this one about kind of how boring like newborn life was. Because everyone was like, isn't this the most amazing time of your life? I'm like, not at all, actually. And am I an asshole for thinking that? And so I wrote a blog post about it. So it's things like that. So if you're looking to kind of read more personal blog posts, that's also a great place that has a little search bar that you can start for that as well. So like I would love to have anybody listening come into the Happily Ever After community. I'm also super active in my DMs and with like replies and stuff. So come hang out with me.
Yeah. I was going to say Eva's side chat is a little gem too, and you'll start getting her voice notes. So highly recommend. Eva, this was such a fun conversation. Love your energy and just so much fun. So thank you again.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'll come back anytime.
Yes. Perfection. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. If there's someone you think this conversation would resonate with, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast and at mroberts.m. Subscribe, follow, and leave a review and connect with us. We love to hear from you and we want to chat soon.